October and February. An Elementary Verse Fic by Flya Kate. Read by Rhea 3-1-4. When it hits October, John can feel the whole school practically heave a sigh of relief, students and teachers both. John and Room 12 have been together for a little over a month. They've successfully navigated the first fire drill, or three, a handful of playground disagreements, and most of the first unit in the math textbook. There are no more surprises, no more unknowns. Only routine day after day. Of course, these are kids, so John learns that while he's planned to do a really cool, interesting lesson on the water cycle, he has to abort 5 minutes in because half the second graders think it's more fun to smash their plastic cups into splinters on the floor. He doesn't really want to know where the rest of the food coloring went. Still, John's grinning when he comes home late in the afternoon with an armful of papers to look over. He'd say grade, but it's still early enough in the year and in life that he mostly gives out stickers. No need for a 7-year-old to freak out about misspelling foliage, or for thinking that leaves are really just confused flowers that decided to grow on the side of the tree. He's long since forgotten about the several different shades of green marker making their way up his arm. "So, the nature unit is going about as well as water, I see?" Ronnie says with a roll of his eyes, but instead of launching into a lecture on how children need discipline, otherwise they'll keep doing stupid things until they're old enough to be taught by Rodney, and the rising numbers of absolute morons in the hard sciences is only proof that. Instead, Rodney just takes half of John's papers, makes an amused face at the tops try to explain why leaves change color. "Maybe they're jealous because we change clothes and they don't get to? Wouldn't you like to be red and orange, too?" And holds the door into the living room, where Franklin is curled up in a furry parentheses, on the rug, and to an extra mug of hot chocolate still warm. In February, John's desk gets absolutely covered in notes, with hearts and pink marker drawings, only slightly different from the rest of the year, because he's noticed second graders will produce reams of art on any surface, for any real or imagined reason, with methods of spelling his last name and Valentine's Day that he'd never really considered. This, of course, is on top of his usual collection of dogs with Mr. Shepherd rules, spilling out of jaunty speech bubbles and violent monster creatures with impossibly too many teeth that make him seriously consider a week of lessons on animal anatomy, if only to make the kids' drawings more realistic. That, he realizes, is a thought born of living with Rodney, and it makes him grin all day. With a grin and enthusiastic thank yous, he gathers up every scrap of paper, waving a stack of glued flowers and hearts. And was that a dinosaur holding a heart? Wow. To stick in his backpack. And it's only when he gets home that he notices that not only has Amanda's dazzling Valentine creation disintegrated into little pink and blue scraps now glued to the lining of his bag, but that the glitter she'd liberally doused it with came off on John's hands and the sleeve of his shirt and the side of his face. "At this rate, we'll need another file cabinet for your fan mail," Ronnie says with a smirk as he attempts to deglitter John's face with a wet paper towel. "It's not like I can get rid of them," John argues half-heartedly, more than a little nauseous with the memory of all the candy he ate today. "They mean a lot." Although seeing as some of the kids in his class can churn out 8 sketches of fighter planes in the time it takes him to turn around from the board, this is slightly less than true. And Ronnie knows what that he means it means a lot to John, and so smiles and places them in the bulging manila folder. "I have to admit, I'm impressed by your attempt to single-handedly save all of your students from sugar shock," Ronnie continues, pulling another handful of crumpled wrappers out of John's coat pocket. "Sadly, I don't think it works that way," John says. "Those kids practically vibrated out of school today. I'm sure I'll get a barrage of notes tomorrow and 3 meltdowns before lunch." Ronnie's mostly not listening anymore, off on a rant about sugar comas, which veers into the question of whether any parents gave him Valentines, especially Joey's single mom, and he could tell that there was something in the fact that she hung around, getting into conversations that was really transparent attempts to go to coffee with Adam, actually, John says. "You know Kylie's dad? I heard that they're going out and they're both chaperoning at Joey's birthday party this weekend, so I'll keep you posted." John's biting his lip to keep from laughing, and just when Rodney's taking a breath to complain more, John slides 2 candy hearts into Rodney's hand, pale green be mine, and kiss, a little sticky from being carried around in John's pocket and held tight in his hand, but hell, it's the thought that counts. And John has to laugh out loud at the look on Rodney's face, part affection, part ew. "You don't have to eat them if you don't want to," John says. Ronnie grins finally and slips the candies into his mouth, leaning forward to breathe, "Do want to," against John's lips until John's lost in it. He even forgets to tease Rodney when he comes up with smears of glitter on his cheek, especially when Rodney himself doesn't notice until bedtime. Then, of course, John laughs himself silly until Rodney throws pillows at him. Franklin, lounging nearby on the floor, hopes that someone will remember to give a treat to the poor, starving, adorable cat, is not amused. But then, cats never are. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to this text through the story's post.